You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
It's the final stretch of 2022, and HRN needs your help. Become an HRN member with a donation of any amount at heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Ho, 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 ho. Ho, leave it in. Ho, 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 ho. It's me, Santa Claus. Welcome to Life's a Banquet, a show about Christmas. Nicole, hi.
Hi, you just turned that into like Tim the Toolman Taylor also.
Ho, ho, ho. Ho, it's me, toxic masculinity. Ho, 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 ho. Tools.
Yes, hello? Home improvement. Can it be done?
Oh my god, that's so funny. Hi, how are you?
Great. Fine.
Great. Let's just end it there.
And I'll see you later.
Okay. Hi. We were just talking right before the show began about bruised butt cracks, pains, and asses. And Armin, I'm sorry to put you on blast. I know this was a private conversation, but you were mentioning pulling butt cheeks apart to use the toilet.
For number two, not for number one.
For number two. But it reminded me of a terrible experience I had once when I went. I was having like ulcerations in my bladder like years ago from like basically not peeing ever, like from working in the kitchen.
Ew.
Because it would just be too busy and I
so
would
you
never
have
pee.
Ulcers in your pee hole?
Yeah, no, like in my bladder.
Oh, in your
inside.
Bladder. That's crazy.
From holding the urine in, right? So I had to go to the urologist, and while I was there, this I don't know any urologists, obviously.
Right, because so we don't live on the Upper West Side. I mean, I haven't met any urologists.
Imagine, like, my whole friend circle was urologists except for you.
That's what it's like in the 80s in dating movies in the New York City. They're like, oh, yeah, let me introduce you to my friend. He's a urologist. You're going to love him.
Would you date a urologist, just sidebar?
Yeah, I need financial security.
That's true, but so much pee talk all the time. Pee this, pee that.
I mean, okay, that's better than a proctologist.
That's true. That's fucking very strange. Or even a gynecologist, which really puzzles me. Well, why anyone would really want to do that profession, but God bless you. Now, let's get back to this urologist. Here I am. I'm sitting in the office. This strange man walks in, and he walks in with two child interns, like two teens from like whatever, NYU medical school. Exactly. A child prodigy from the band Prodigy. And so he like starts asking me all these questions about like my bladder and like peeing and stuff. And he's like, okay, so what you need to know when you wipe your vagina after you urinate, do you pull the lips apart with your fingers and wipe front to back? And I was just like, what are you talking about? And it was so humiliating, like in front of these two children, just like, do I pull my vagina apart to wipe? Like, what are you talking about?
No,
you know
one
what I mean?
Does that.
I was like, sir, wiping I just not, like, need you to.
There's no one on earth who uses a two-pronged, two-hand approach to wiping their vagina. You have to pull your vagina apart and then also wipe and while balancing on a toilet. And also, does he know that we pee in public? That would be like so much time and energy. I had to spend so much time and energy retucking my shirt back in every time I pee.
I know.
Hours
I agree. I was like,
of my life have been
it was
lost.
Terrible.
So if
I know,
I'm not going to add.
We just. Bleh,
bleh, bleh. I'm not going to add any additional time to my pee, sir. And also, no one has ever done that before.
No one's ever done that before. I'm like, of course, I don't do it myself. I'm a lady. I have an assistant who does that for me. No, anyway, that's ridiculous. Anyway, Armin, thank you for prompting that lost memory that's now been recovered. It's a holiday memory because it happened around Christmas time.
Fond holiday memory.
What are you doing right now? Are you having some grog?
I'm having some coffee from Trader Joe's. What is grog? Like mulled wine?
I don't really know what grog is, but I think you drink grog around the holidays if you were from the Middle Ages.
Sure. And I am.
Yeah, you are middle-aged and from the Middle Ages.
All right, let's find out what grog is.
Okay, great.
Grog is a term used for a variety of alcoholic beverages, usually rum diluted with water.
Ew.
Okay, sure.
Okay, Bukowski.
Whatever you want, guys.
Did you get a haircut?
Yes, I got a haircut.
Oh, Nicole looks so cute. Your hair is so cute.
Thank you.
Short.
It's kind of 90s, not intentionally, but...
Yeah, you look like Kurt Cobain.
I'm not going to drag anybody.
So what are you doing to celebrate the holiday season?
My sister is here, literally in the other room, weirdly listening to us, every word that we say, but she can only hear me. So it's confusing to her. She thinks I'm just in here talking to myself. We're going to go over to my dad's on Christmas Eve, and then my family's coming over here for Christmas Day. And we're going to make pot roast that Costco already made for us and packaged it. And then my sister's going to make this elaborate mushroom pasta dish. And then we're going to have mashed potatoes and Brussels sprouts.
Oh, that sounds great. I wish I was coming to your house. That sounds so fun.
There's plenty of room.
That's true. I could. Let me catch a flight. I'm not doing anything on Christmas Day.
Is the weather bad out there?
Well, yeah, the weather's like freezing. But like all my plans just keep getting canceled. And I like initially planned to spend Christmas Day alone just because I kind of like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go see the new feature film Babylon.
Oh, I don't even know about this.
It's a new Damien Chazelle movie.
I don't know if that is.
Brad Pitt's in it, America's Sweetheart.
Wait, isn't he already in a movie called Babylon or Babel?
Yes, that's Babel. That's your favorite
the
movie.
The prequel to Babylon.
This is literally, it's the sequel. It's Babylon.
Babylon like 2 or Babel 2.
It's Babylon. More Babylon. Oh, I'm sorry, everyone. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to go to Bemelman's bar and drink alone and try to find a husband.
Are they open on Christmas Day and they don't care about their staff at all?
No, they don't. And I don't care about them either. And that's why I'm going. And I'm not going to tip.
Maybe they're Jewish.
Yes, everyone who owns Bemelman's bar is Jewish and who works there. It's prerequisite.
speaking of bad tipping, I have some pretty upsetting news for
us.
So apparently J-Lo and Ben Lowe have been getting dragged on TikTok for being shitty tippers.
Ew.
So like,
how shitty?
Well, they went to Vegas. Multiple people have addressed this and sort of agreed with it, but I still don't know what to believe. So apparently, Ben Lowe tips really well in cash, and then J-Lo goes around and takes the cash back.
Oh my God. Get out of here.
Which is impossible to believe. But
yeah,
this one
is
slightly more believable. So supposedly there was like a server that was only waiting on Ben. And so for her kindness and generosity, he tipped her $10,000. And then J-Lo said, "Oh, hell no," and took the money back. And then the next day, Ben sent the server Tiffany $25,000 and a bouquet of flowers because he was so embarrassed. And for me, this means that Ben was sleeping with Tiffany. And that's probably why Jen was upset that he gave her 10 grand right in front of her. He should have given her like a little envelope secretly. I don't understand why he didn't know this.
This 100% means that she has seen his Phoenix back tattoo.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Up close.
I mean,
and
that's why he had to give her 25 grand because
hush money.
It's seared on her memory forever.
You know what? You couldn't pay me $25,000 cash to look at that fucking tattoo within like a foot. It's too disgusting.
What? I would totally look at it for $25,000. What are you talking about?
I wouldn't. I have standards. Mm. I don't need the money.
Okay. Well, I need the money.
I don't need the money. I'm
rich.
Why
don't we tell them that we're both going to do it and I'll take your money and you can keep your eyes closed.
Okay, great. Wow, that's wild. Being a bad tipper is fucked up and crazy, but like, being a bad tipper when you have like millions and millions of dollars. However, like I find that rich people are always the cheapest people.
That's true. That's how they stay so rich. Exactly. Although one time a really cute country musician, young person who I don't know who it is, came in to the restaurant and he tipped me $400.
That's incredible.
And I never would have known that he was famous until he tipped me that money. And then I was like, why did that guy out there tip me whatever the amount, like $400? And we looked at his credit card and someone was like, oh yeah, he's a country music star.
Allegedly. You're like, oh, it's Chris Gaines.
Yeah, it was Chris Gaines. He has soul patch.
Chris Gaines and Chris Angel are the same person. I had an experience once, which you know about. I'm not going to say who it was, but a very famous celebrity, two famous rich celebrities who were treated to a full meal at Brucey and each left $20.
Yeah. Well, they had to tip the cab driver too, you know?
Yeah, that's true. If I never tipped anybody ever, like, I would also be a millionaire. And I'm not even kidding.
That's actually probably true because we do eat out quite a lot. Also, did you see New York Magazine said that Roman's is the most Gen Z place to eat dinner?
What? Yeah. How did that happen? What are you talking about?
There's a woman, I'm pretty sure it's a woman, she's like, the year I ate New York, and I just fucking hate pretty much every opinion that she has. Yes. But I feel like I agree with her that it is a Gen X. Did I say Gen Z?
You did. Gen X makes sense. Gen Z makes no sense.
Gen X place to eat dinner. And I was like, that's true. People in their 40s eat there. So that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. I was like, Gen Z, where these folks get the money to go to Roman's.
They said that the most millennial place is, what's James Murphy's bar? Four Horsemen.
Oh.
Which I think is very expensive. So how are they affording that? I mean, millennials are in their 30s now, I guess. They're rich enough. Their parents are dead and their estate funds have come out and they can afford to eat there.
Technically, I'm a millennial, although I argue about this all the time with people because, right, doesn't like being, they like waivers. Being a millennial either starts in like 1980 or like 84 or whatever.
Well, but Gen X, the last year is 1980.
I know. However, I remember when Kurt Cobain died and hearing it from another Kurt Loder. And therefore, I like to partner myself with Gen X.
You're just an elder millennial.
I'm a Gen X. I'm a younger Gen Xer. I have a slightly gloomy disposition, but also a good sense of humor. And I love the movie Tank Girl. So moving on.
Wow.
Okay, listen, let's get serious here because we don't have a lot of time. We're both about to die.
Oh, yeah. This is our last day on Earth.
Yeah, there's an asteroid, folks. Watch out. So
hold on, sorry. I don't want to move on yet. I just want to go through this really quick. So she says the most boomer restaurant is Union Square Cafe. What do you think about that?
Definitely.
Yeah, I've never been there.
It's still open.
Because I'm a Gen Xer, so they won't let me in. okay. Then the most Gen X is Roman's. The most Gen Z is the new wine bar, Sauced.
Ah, never heard of it, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. But how, if you're Gen Z, you're in your 20s, you're drinking at a wine bar? I don't believe that. Yeah, you're in your 20s, you're taking pickleback shots, right?
Totally, or going to like Lit Lounge and like blowing someone from Interpol.
Yeah, totally. I just wanted to get through that. It's important. Today, Zara and I are doing holiday cheer as our topic out of desperation and last minute scheduling snafus. So by the time this airs, I have no idea when this is going to air, but hopefully Christmas will be over so that it will be funny that we're talking about this. But I decided to dig into the seedy underbelly of the history of two of America's favorite Christmas carols, Good King Wenceslas and The 12 Days of Christmas.
What is Good King Wenceslas?
I'm about to tell you, bitch.
Can you say, are you going to sing
it? I'm not going to sing it. No, Google it.
I know you don't believe in singing on the podcast, but I don't know this song, so I'm just saying.
I can't sing it.
Could you hum it?
No, just look it up. Everyone, if you don't know this song, Google it and you'll recognize it right away. Okay. Good King Wenceslas, the most popular Christmas carol of all time. For some reason, this is the Christmas carol I always think of when I think of Christmas carols because it's like unpronounceable and mysterious. And really has nothing to do with baby Jesus, interestingly enough. Okay, here we go. So the basic gist of this carol is that a king journeys through harsh winter weather to bring food and firewood to some poor dude he saw from the window of his palace. On December 26th, the Feast of Stephen, a.k.a. the second day of Christmas. It was different back then. They keep celebrating Christmas after Christmas is over. This is actually based on a true story. Saint Wenceslaus I was the Duke of Bohemia in the year 907, which is Prague, basically. And he was super into helping the poor. So they made him a saint. He wasn't into like changing the systems in place to sort of make equality a thing. He would go out and give poor like a little bit of money. And they made him a saint for this.
Takes nothing. All you have to do really is be a man.
Yeah. So the story goes, he's like chilling at his house, his palace, December 26th, Feast of Stephen. He's out, he looks out the window and he sees some dude trying to get some firewood. And he was like, hey, servants, get over here. He's like, who's that guy? And they're like, oh, he lives far away and he's super poor. And he was like, oh, perfect. So he forces his servants to bring him firewood and food. And then he makes one of his servants go out into the freezing winter cold and find this dude's house. So they're walking through all the snow. It's freezing. It's windy. And eventually the page says, dude, I cannot go any further. It's too cold. And the king's like, well, you have to. What you should do is walk in my footsteps behind me and you'll be fine. And then the page was pleasantly warmed, which means he froze to death, I think. but allegedly they make it and feed the guy. They have a big feast at his house. They just come over without even knocking or no prior plan. So if the guy had something else going on, he would have to cancel because the Duke is over. But they feed the guy, they have a feast, and then presumably they both die of exposure on the way home. I don't know what happens afterwards. so that's the story.
I looked up the song.
Great.
I just want to hum it quickly so everyone can know what it is. It was
okay. Is that it?
I think I mixed two together. Yeah. I think I mixed Tidings of Comfort and Joy.
Yeah.
The beginning was right. The beginning was right. Okay, sorry. I just, in case anyone was just dying to know and couldn't find a way to look it up. We're on the same page. Okay, go ahead, Nicole.
Okay, moving on. So yeah, that was in the year 907. In 1582, many years later, Theodoricus Petri was at university at Rostock in Germany. And he was writing a bunch of hymns because, you know, he was boring and he loved God or whatever. And he wanted to preserve the songs of his fatherland. So he wrote this like book of hymns and old countrymen songs. And it became really popular. It became the Finnish national treasure. So it has all of the Finnish songs that there were at the time, which I guess in 1582 was maybe a lot. Who knows? But yeah,
it's a Finnish product.
A Finnish national treasure. So if they made the movie National Treasure in Finland, they would steal this book of hymns instead of the Declaration of Independence.
Amazing.
The song was originally called Tempus Adest Floridium, which means the time is near for flowering. But that's the tune that Zara just bastardized. That was the original tune to the song. But they didn't have any lyrics until 1853 when John Mason Neal, famous hottie hymn writer.
Brother of Sam Neal, American
yeah,
sweetheart.
Sam Neal's
Britain.
Grandpa. He used the good King Wenceslaus' brutal abuse of his servants and made it into a Christmas carol. And he put it in a book of carols called A Carol for Christmastide. And that's the story of that song. Now.
That's so funny. What made you think to like research that of all songs? Why?
I don't know. I'm a freak. Now we're going to talk about the 12 Days of Christmas. This is a song that I feel like everyone wants to research because you're like, why is someone giving me so many fucking birds for Christmas. Exactly. Over and over and over again. Yeah.
It's rude. It's difficult. It's a huge project. Now all of a sudden you have tons and tons of birds. Makes no sense. Also, before we begin, when is the first day of Christmas? Is it Christmas? And then it goes till January?
Yeah. No, it's only 12 days. So, oh yeah, I guess it would go to January.
Oh, so it only goes to December 37th?
Yes, it goes to December 37th, and then it becomes January.
Great.
Great. So, yeah, there the Christmas called the 12 days after Christmas, the 12 tide of Christianity. They were really into adding tide to the end of their words, which I feel like something tide, the laundry detergent, could capitalize on if they wanted to, the Christmas tide.
Absolutely.
The 12
tide. Are you sick and tired of eggnog stains in your underwear? Get tied, Christmas tide.
Oh, those aren't eggnog stains, honey. Okay. So yeah, the 12 days, this is also very suspicious to me, what I've just learned. So the 12 days refer to the 12 days between Jesus getting born and the arrival of the three wise men. Okay. But if we were to believe the nativity scenes across the nation that I've been subjected to my entire life, the three wise men are already there. Unless Mary and Joseph have a baby in a fucking barn and stay in the barn in the middle of winter for 12 days, why would they not go back home?
It was warm over there.
Why wouldn't they go back home, though? They had a house.
So, like, I don't know. They weren't real,
I guess. So, yeah, so this is basically, I mean, I'm blowing the Jesus story out of the water here with this research. The three wise men didn't come for 12 days, and that's why everyone's celebrating in January. Yeah, I don't know. So, anyway, there's also people believed that the song was actually like a code for religious beliefs because you weren't allowed to be religious when it came out. Like, you weren't allowed to be Christian without getting persecuted. And so they think that every part of it is a code for something else. And I'm going to read you all the codes. And let me tell you, they are stupid and boring.
Can't wait.
Number one, partridge in a pear tree. That's Jesus. Okay. That's him.
Really?
The two turtle doves are the Old and the New Testament. The three French hens are faith, hope, and charity. Barf.
Like strippers.
Yes, for sure. Four calling birds, the four gospels. Snooze. Five golden rings are the first five books of the Old Testament. Who gives a shit, really? I don't, why would you even need to lie about wanting to read that? Six geese a-laying are the days of creation. Seven swans a-swimming are the seven sacraments. Is that what the movie Seven is about? The sacraments? No, that's a seven deadly sins.
Seven deadly sins, seven ways to die, seven sacraments, 7 minutes in heaven.
7-Eleven.
So that was the original title. It's too long.
Eight maids a-milking are the eight beatitudes. I don't know what those are. I used to know when I was a religious child. Nine ladies dancing are the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Fruits of the loom. 10 lords a-leaping are the 10 commandments. Blah, blah, blah. 11 pipers piping are the 11 faithful apostles minus Judas. He was the 12th apostle and he like ratted everyone out. So sorry about your luck, Judas. You didn't make it into the 12 days of Christmas. And then the 12 drummers drumming are the 12 points of doctrine in the Apostles' Creed.
Oh my God. This is so boring. I don't know anything about the Bible.
Yeah.
So to me, I mean, this means nothing to me at all.
It means nothing to anyone. So the other part about this is it's so stupid is it more than likely it's not real because people are like, actual historians are like, okay, well, if you weren't allowed to like be Christian, why can you say the word Christmas in every line of this song?
That's a really good point. And also it just like ignores the fact that like avian enthusiasts, like friend of the show, Mike Sala, actually exist. And I bet Mike is upset, as many of you probably are who are listening in right now, that there's no mention of any parrots in the 12 days of Christmas.
That is true. And I think that that's parrot erasure.
Yeah, it is. The 13th day of Christmas, which has been wiped out, much like Pluto, the planet, was actually about parrots, but it was unlucky because 13 parrots, as everyone knows, is a curse.
It's very unlucky. Also, parrot erasure just made me think of the band Erasure, but with all parrots.
When in the veins of love, squawk, squawk, squawk.
Okay, so this beautiful song, this bird song, appeared first in a children's book called Mirth Without Mischief, which I think is kind of cute. But this song was a little bit different. The partridge in a pear tree was actually a very pretty peacock in a pear tree, which is, I think, a cuter sound, but whatever. More than likely, it was a memorization game for idiot children so that they could use their brains.
That makes sense.
One final note about this song. Since the year 1984, PNC Bank has been tracking how much it would cost to buy all of this shit for someone for Christmas. So in the year 1984, it would have cost you $20,000, $20,069.50. If you were to buy all of these birds and humans in the year today, 2022, it would cost you $45,523.27, which is a 10.5% increase from last year.
Wow. Inflation.
I encourage you to go to the PNC Bank website where they list each item and why it costs what it costs. They're like, yeah, hen feed actually costs a lot more than it used to. So that's why the hens are going to cost you like $500.
That's so funny. That's really incredible. And what a waste of $45,000. You could literally spend that on anything else you bought for $45,000.
Yeah.
Would be better than all of these like kind of ridiculous birds. Most of them without any, to my knowledge, real function.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can eat them, right?
A turtle dove?
Well, you can eat a turtle dove if you eat a guinea hen or whatever those things are called.
Yeah, sure. But I just picture a turtle dove, like one of those like mishmash animals, like with a turtle's head and dove wings.
Well, a turtle dove is going to cost you $600, two of them.
For one dove?
Yeah. No, for two of them.
Oh, well, in that case, sure.
Also, it says here that five gold rings is only $1,200. And I don't think that's right. I feel like that's going to be more expensive than that. Because I tried to buy a necklace that was all gold the other day and it alone cost $1,200.
Wow. And that also means that you could get four turtle doves for the same for price of one gold ring, whatever, five golden rings. How many? Four?
Yeah.
Eight?
The price of gold rings grew by 40% in 2022. Gold is really high this year. So maybe don't buy any gold rings this year. Wait till next year, everyone.
Thanks, Obama. Wow. This is amazing. Do you think anyone, surely rich Republican has bought this as a gift for their wife at some point or another. Probably many, don't you think?
Well, I just feel like the part that's hard for me to understand is like nine ladies dancing. So are you just having people swing by and do a little dance and then they leave?
Oh, yeah. That's the most expensive part, probably, really. Don't you think?
The drummer's drumming also is probably like a drum line, I guess. That'd be kind of cute, though, to get a drum line.
100%. That's an absolute dream.
12 drummers is like so many drummers.
Especially if like, what if they're all like Mick Fleetwood and they each need two drum sets?
Wow, that's true.
You need a lot of space.
A lot of space. You would have to be like in a ballroom of some kind, I think.
Yeah, totally. Wow. Have you ever done any ballroom dancing? Speaking of ballrooms, I've been meaning to ask you this.
No. Have you?
No, of course not.
The movie Strictly Ballroom.
Yeah, I've seen that too. You know what the thing about dancing is? It makes me dizzy. Like dancing around, like, in, you know, when people like spin you and stuff like that, I get very dizzy.
Well, I like to dance, but proper ballroom dancing, no, I don't know how to do it.
Like, I like to dance when the rhythm takes me over. Mm. Like, you know, if a song comes on, I need to do a little shaking.
Yeah.
Or if I'm out with my friends, you know, at a club marquee. But I'm not trying, I can't like do organized dancing. And also, like, you know, in online dating, how like different, like most, I'd say like 3 out of 5 men will be like, looking for my dance partner. We got to be able to go and cut a rug and like dance. I'm like, why are these people like obsessed with dancing? Is that real?
The movies did this to us.
Dancing? That's also, the last fucking thing I'm going to do with someone I don't know. Go dance with you. I'm sorry. That's like real intimacy.
I would do line dancing with a stranger.
Becky does line dancing.
I know. I love it.
It's one of the cutest things about her, honestly. She has like boots and everything.
We did line dancing at the last wedding I went to over the summer. It wasn't summer, though. It was fall.
Look, line dancing is fine. I'm just saying, like, if I go meet some person from the internet who's like most likely already going to be a murderer, the last thing I want to do is like, then I have to be pressured to dance with this person. Do you know what I mean? Dance?
I guess so. I feel like I would want to dance with the murderer.
You've danced with a murderer you just met on the internet before? Yeah,
absolutely. Really? You dance with the really? Devil in the pale moonlight.
Have you just been dancing by myself? Okay, let's take a break, folks. We're going to come back. I have a really boring story about mistletoe.
Help keep nonprofit food radio on the air and get a limited release HRN t-shirt designed by artist Chema Scandal. When you become an HRN member or renew your existing membership at the $90 level, you'll receive a shirt created exclusively for members as our thank you gift. Don't wait, because this limited edition t-shirt is only available until December 31st. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate to support HRN at any level. There's more swag and benefits available for any tax-deductible donation. You can even get your company on the HRN airwaves as a perk of our business membership program. Head to heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
And we're back. Now, I'm going to admit that I'm absolutely fucking exhausted. My brain feels like mush from lots and lots of hard work. So I decided to do mistletoe, and when I was looking up mistletoe this morning, I kept giggling to myself because it reminds me of camel toe, but it's not camel toe. Camel toe is what the urologist tells you to do when you're going to wipe your vagina properly.
Mistletoe is when you put plants down your pants.
Exactly. Now, you don't want to confuse the two, because you don't want to kiss someone under a camel toe.
No. Well, I mean, you can. No, kink shame.
You can kiss someone's camel toe, but you don't want to see a camel toe. I'm sorry, I have to pause for a second. I mean, not actually pause. It is thunder and lightning in here.
Really? Well, it feels like negative 28 outside where I'm at.
This is like some of the shittest weather I've ever seen. It's pouring thundering lightning, and in the next hour, it's supposed to drop 20 degrees.
Yeah, well, that happened here yesterday, and we had some snow, and now it feels like negative 22 outside.
Is there slippery ice around?
I don't know. I haven't been out there yet, but presumably yes.
Huh. All right. Well, be careful. Anyway, camel toe and mistletoe, they're different. They're both great. And they're both for the holidays. What are you getting your loved one this holiday? Camel toe. How are you going to do that? Don't ask questions. The other day when I was looking for underwear on amazon.com, I was like just looking up like good underwear, particularly for like working out in, and it kept like suggesting to me all of these things, and the first thing it suggested was a pair of underwear for two people.
What?
Which I got for Dan for Christmas. I thought it would be a hilarious gift. It's underwear for two. It's big pair of underwear with four leg holes.
That is insane.
I know. I'll send you the picture. It's really funny.
I don't like that.
Well, then you're not going to like your Christmas gift at all.
Damn it.
And then it also showed me like these like silicone, like, I don't know, wedges that you like put in your underwear so you don't get a camel toe.
Fascinating.
I know, but I was like, how does that stick on? Anyway, this is a food podcast on Heritage Radio. Let's get into it. We're talking about mistletoe. How does it relate to food? Well, you can't eat it, folks.
You can't?
No. Not really, no. You can take it in, like, a supplement kind of way. I think it's, like alleviates cancer, but it has to be, like, processed. You can't just, like, after you get done kissing the mistletoe, you can't, like, shove it down your throat.
Yeah, it doesn't freshen your breath or anything.
It sure doesn't. Now, I got all my information today from my favorite website, gardeningbetty.com. and I'm just going to go ahead and say some things that Garden Betty talks about in terms of the history of mistletoe, because it did pique my interest. Why do we kiss under this stuff anyway? What is it? Does it exist in nature? The answer to that question is yes. And I'll tell you a little bit later about how many species of mistletoe there are around the world. I know you've been wondering. Are you ready? Oh, when I'm here, I'm going to need you to be here. Da, 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 da. Okay, here we go. Some historians believe the tradition of kissing under the mistletoe goes back to the Norse god. Oh, this is actually why I was convinced to do this. This is how pathetic I am. The Norse god Baldur, the god of the summer sun. And this is some real inside baseball for you, for folks out there.
I did not know that Baldur was named after a fucking god. Wow. So much we don't know.
So for anyone who's listening who's not in the restaurant industry, Baldur is like the wholesaler for restaurants in New York City and like the East Coast in general. Even if you live in New York, you've definitely seen the trucks. Mm-hmm. It's a one-stop shop and you can get like pretty good quality stuff. However, they're always late and they are now more expensive than shopping retail, honestly.
Yes, they are.
Fuck them, and they really give me a hard time, and they won't change my delivery time even though I call every day.
And anyway, they won't give you any mistletoe.
They don't carry mistletoe, which is also extremely rude. However, I like their delivery drivers. They're all very sweet. According to the Norse mythology, Baldur Baldur dreamed about his own death, samesies, and fell into depression, believing that every living thing was out to kill him.
But he's a god. Do they die? I guess Norse gods are different from regular gods.
Yeah, Norse gods are almost mortal. So he was beloved by the other gods, and they were like, don't worry, Baldur. We're going to try to keep you safe from this world because we all need to get persimmons this time of year.
Yes.
This is also funny. The names in this are hilarious, to me at least, because I have little brain power left. His mother, Frigg.
Friggin' Baldur. Mom over here.
Friggin' Baldur, am I right?
Yeah.
His mother Frigg, the goddess of love, marriage, and beauty, took an oath from all the elements, plants, and animals, they would not harm Baldur. But
God, that must have taken forever.
Like Baldur. Am I right again?
Nice.
But neglected to extract the same promise from the young and insignificant mistletoe. So she asks everything except for freaking mistletoe.
Why would she?
Baldur.
So like she has bad attention to detail.
Exactly. And this mistake is truly going to cost her because Loki, the god of mischief.
Loki, the god of mischief from the Marvel shows.
Never saw that, but I do love mischief myself. And I have to say that if I was a god, I would be Loki causing mischief, tickling, unscrewing salt shakers everywhere, putting plastic over the toilet bowl, etc.
Yeah. Well, he apparently, according to the Marvel movies, is Thor's brother, ? But maybe it's his adopted brother. I don't really know. Go on.
Okay. Well, please call into the show if you've ever seen a Marvel movie. So he discovers the oversight and he makes a poison dart with mistletoe and then he kills Baldur.
Oh, Loki does. Okay.
So, exactly.
So he's Loki's like, literally going around to every plant and animal being like, did you sign this oath? Did you sign this oath? So this must have taken years.
Decades. Good thing that they are mostly immortal except for Baldur, I guess. So he kills Baldur in front of the other gods.
What a jerk.
Berries on the mistletoe become the tears of his mother. And it is decreed henceforth that mistletoe would bring only love into the world and not death.
Okay, well, really, she should have done that just like one day earlier.
No shit. Now, I have to be honest. None of this makes any sense to me. It seems like a ridiculous connection. We're really grabbing at straws here, or no, should I say grabbing at mistletoe?
This is absolutely true. I can tell.
Okay. It has Nicole says it happened.
It rings true.
She was alive then. So
I was.
She would
yes,
know.
I was. I'm a Norse goddess.
You look like you could be a Norse goddess, to be honest. You have the face of a Norse goddess and the ass, ba-dum-bum-ching.
Hell yeah, I do.
You got that Norse goddess ass.
Yeah. And
that's what people are always saying.
That's what I asked my personal trainer. I was like, I need to get the ass of a Norse goddess, please. And they were like, do some fucking squats and get out of here.
Amazing. All right, so mistletoe is now placed on doorways so it would never be overlooked again. And any two people passing under the plant would have to exchange a kiss in the memory of Baldur.
What if they're brother and sister?
Doesn't matter. Mom and son, who cares?
Dog and owner? I mean,
dog and cat.
Dog and cat have to kiss each other.
Awkward. Okay, so Greco-Roman history reveals that Diana, the goddess of the moon, wore a crown of mistletoe as an emblem of fertility and immortality.
Okay.
And one theory even says that the seeds of the plant gave rise to the reputation as a life bearer because they're sticky like semen.
Gross.
Okay. Relax, mistletoe. Stop I thought that coming they were all over us.
Tears, though. So, like, what? This is all.
Well, I mean.
Fake news.
Let's be honest. A teardrop and a cum shot, not the two most unsimilar things. If sure, you were yeah. having to, like, draw. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Just look at the emojis.
Totally.
They're really similar. Okay. So then we're going to go up all the way. We're going to fast forward billions and billions of years to the 18th century in England, your favorite century.
Literally my favorite.
Literally and literally. Literally. It was a customary for a person to pick a berry off the bough for every kiss until no more berries remained, after which all kissing would cease. So
all kissing in the nation of England.
Yeah, they're like, it's over. We picked all the berries. Stop kissing. So that's that. Sounds kind of rapey in a way. I'm sure mistletoe has been mistletoe used many a time in kissing history.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Then I started Googling mistletoe, and I went to, like, you know, the predictive things that, like, people ask about whatever thing you're Googling.
Yes.
And I thought it was so, so funny, although I'm assuming I might be the only one who thought this was funny, again, because of the lack of brain function this morning. Can humans eat mistletoe? Just, like, imagining the person who's typing this in.
They're, like, holding it in their hand, waiting to see the response.
There's, like, ketchup on it.
They use it, like, rosemary, like, on their chicken.
Oh my god, it's like in a hot dog bun or like on a sandwich. They're like, ah, I'm out of lettuce. I wonder if I can use mistletoe on this thing.
It's sticky enough.
Okay, mistletoe is an evergreen plant with white berries. Mistletoe poisoning occurs when someone eats part of the mistletoe. poisoning can also occur if you drink a tea created with mistletoe. Uh-oh. Or from the plant or berries. So, folks, okay, no mistletoe.
Avoid that. Unless you want to end it all, in which case, fine. It's kind of a romantic way to go.
Chefs, we're going to need to rethink that mistletoe Caesar salad you've all been trying to put on your menus and this holiday season. That
mistletoe semifreddo. And that mistletoe hot toddy. Very dangerous stuff.
Oh my god, that's so funny. A mistletoe teeny. Okay, here's another question that someone asked about mistletoe, another interested, inquiring mind who wanted to know. Tom Colicchio asks, what does mistletoe taste like? The taste of mistletoe leaves a similar taste in your mouth to young grass.
Okay, well, I have a question. If mistletoe kills you when you eat it, how can any living person describe its flavor?
I guess, like, right before you die, you go, wait. Write this down. I want to know if people know what it tastes like. Ah, young grass, not old grass.
Not old grass.
And the berries
grass.
Are sweet.
Mm, well, that's good.
However, neither should be used for food. The herbal remedies for mistletoe leaves include relieving high blood pressure and as a mild sedative. I guess you have to process it somehow first. But I don't know how. Don't try it at home.
Okay, fine.
Don't eat the mistletoe, no matter how desperate you get. Apparently there are 1,300 types of mistletoe worldwide, which sounds like a lot. It's way more than I thought. I thought maybe two.
Yeah.
1,300? That sounds like a lot.
It's a lot of mistletoe. Food to avoid eating.
I know. Exactly. It's a lot of kissing to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, are you going to kiss anyone under the mistletoe this Christmas?
I don't know. Maybe. Hopefully.
I think
probably
it would be
more
funny.
Likely that I'm going to kiss someone on New Year's Eve.
That's cute. Lucky you. I was going to say it would be kind of funny to make a camel toe that you hang above the door instead of mistletoe.
I wonder if they have those. Like, you probably get them at the same store where you get truck nuts.
Yeah, you get them with the truck nuts and the, like, pinny things that you put your hands on and you look like a racer face or whatever.
What?
What am I thinking of? Spencer Gifts.
What's a razor face?
It's wrong. I'm not saying the right thing. I'm thinking of Hellraiser.
Eraser Face. That's Erasure's other band. It's not Parrot Erasure.
What am I thinking of? What's the guy's name?
Pinhead. Pinhead.
Eraser Face? What am I talking about?
Erasure Face.
Just erase her face, okay?
This podcast is brought to you by the band Erasure.
I love Erasure, actually. They have some really good songs.
Great hits, man. Just play the hits, Erasure, okay? Parrot Erasure, though, is cracking me up. It's a bunch of parrots singing Erasure songs, which could be done because they can mimic our voices. We can make this band happen.
An Erasure cover band called Parrot Erasure featuring a bunch of parrots. Mike Sala.
We have to make this band come true. It's the greatest idea I've ever had in my life.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And their first album is called Erasure Face, and it's just a parrot's face. Half erased. Pencil eraser.
Yeah.
Wow. We really did it. You know, I came into this episode feeling terrible about my topic because it was so boring, and I'm leaving feeling the same way. However, I had a great time.
I had a great time. I learned a lot. I actually was planning on preparing a mistletoe dinner for Christmas Eve, and now I have to completely change my entire plans. So that's good. Good that I found out today.
You guys were doing Feast of the Seven Mistletoes?
But we had all 1,300 varieties. Baldur came over and delivered them.
I'm crying.
The 1,300 course meal. It was going to take literally 24 hours.
I'm like actually crying. Picturing like a Bowler driver coming in. He's like, somebody order, do you guys do like a lot of mistletoe? Sorry, I relate. It took a long time to get this all off the truck. 1,300 mistletoe varieties in little bags.
Yep. And then we're like, how many times did you tell you don't come in the front door?
Don't come in once we started service. This year at 11 Madison Park, and they're all vegan menu, we're featuring a 1,300 course mistletoe menu.
It's going to be amazing. This is unprecedented. No one's ever thought of this before, and... yeah, I'm like a culinary genius and a musical genius. Like, what can't amazing. I do?
Daniel Hum's magnum opus,
1,300 courses. You want to do like a wine pairing with 1,300 wines?
This would be hard to find 1,300 wines that go with deadly mistletoe.
Well, that's probably to switch to NA wine in the middle so everyone doesn't perish from drinking too much before they perish from eating mistletoe 1,300 times. 1,300 different ways.
Oh my God, that is so funny. I'm sorry. I'm like actually crying tears. Like they're pouring out of my eyes. I can't control. Yes. All right. Well, hey, that was a fun episode. Oh, wait. We should talk about our favorite top three Christmas anything.
Our top this three episode Christmas. Is unhinged. Okay. You go first.
Oh, God. Okay. I guess gingerbread men and women, gingerbread people. Mm-hmm. Love that. What else? The movie It's a Wonderful Life, which okay. I have now watched probably over 14 times.
It's so long. It's not one of my faves. Yeah.
I love it. I don't watch the whole thing over and over. I watch just the third act.
Okay.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
And then I guess my first favorite Christmas thing, obviously Tickle Me Elmo.
Yeah. Have you seen, I can't even remember who showed me this, but there's a video on the internet of Tickle Me Elmo without his fur on and it's
get out.
Terrifying. It's very, very scary. And you simply must look it up right away.
Without his fur?
Yes. So it's just like a creepy tickle jiggling robot. The creature that looks like the stuff of nightmares.
I'm looking at Bruno.
Okay, look at it. I like the movie Christmas in Connecticut, actually, which is pretty fun, which I just discovered you know, like 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh my God.
Are you seeing it? Yeah. Are you, is it the video where it's actually being tickled and it's still moving its eyes? It's not. Okay. Yeah.
It is. Oh my God.
Truly will haunt your dreams for the rest of your life. Christmas in Connecticut, I like a lot. I don't really like the movie A Christmas Story. I think we probably talked about this before.
That movie sucks, and I hate it. And anyone who just says they like that movie should eat shit and die.
They should eat mistletoe and die.
Anyone who likes that movie should eat 1,300 separately prepared courses of mistletoe varieties and then die.
The other part of Christmas I like, so my neighbor just came over and last night and brought us baked goods. So that's cute, heartwarming stuff. And then I also like the smell of pine. So I have like a pine candle going right now and it just smells great. Delightful.
I thought you meant crisp pine.
I love the smell of crisp pine. The one Chris I could recognize of all the Chris's now because of all the scandal.
Do you remember when that like meme of or like that video where it like looked like Harry Styles spit onto him?
Yes.
Came out. That was something that also made me laugh so hard. I almost cried. I was like, what a brazen move.
It was a wonderful time in the collective psyche when we all could just be obsessed with what was going on with those losers. I also watched Don't Worry, Darling. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't. I heard it was so bad.
It's not that bad. I think people, it's like Waterworld. People like universally panned it without really giving it a chance. And I think it was fine. It's like not like amazing, but it was like fun.
And okay, like, I'll watch it.
Yeah. I think Florence Pugh, and I also think Olivia Wilde did a good job too.
I like Olivia Wilde. And I also want to mention that I've never seen Waterworld, despite how much I enjoy Kevin Costner's face and butt. Never saw Waterworld. Partially because I was like afraid to see Kevin Costner like that. You know
with
what I mean?
With gills on?
Yeah, with gills.
He has gills in it.
Spoiler. No, I know. Oh, okay. I know he has. Okay. That's what I'm agreeing with. I'm being 100% serious.
I thought you were like,
I was afraid to see him with gills.
Well, I like Waterworld. It is insane and really fun to watch with a group of people and make fun of. But it's also like
popcorn.
An enjoyable adventure. Psychotic post-apocalyptic movie. It's like Mad Max on the
who directed
water.
It like Ridley Scott?
No, I don't know.
I always thought Kevin Costner directed it, and which made me feel even worse.
Did he direct it? No, I don't think. I think he directed The Postman.
Oh yeah, Il Postino.
Have you seen that?
No, I've never seen The Postman, but I have
I
seen
thought
Il Postino.
You haven't seen you haven't seen every Kevin Costner movie? What the hell, dude?
I'm not a Costner completist. I haven't seen The Postman, and I haven't seen Waterworld. But honestly, aside from that, I think I've seen every Kevin Costner movie.
Have you seen No Way Out?
Yes, of course.
Okay, good. Kevin Reynolds directed it. It got 45% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not too shabby.
What's the Kevin Costner movie that Clint Eastwood directed where he's wearing that? He's like an escaped convict and like he takes up with like a kid and kind of protects him.
It's like something world, like Beautiful World or something like
yeah,
that. Water
that's
World
a really
prequel.
Water World 2. Water Fountain.
That movie is so like manipulative in terms of like your emotional experience. I don't really like that.
It really is, but it's like quite good. Obviously, The Bodyguard. Now we're just talking about Kevin Costner.
Well, that's what the people come here for. A Perfect World is what it's called.
A Perfect World. That's a really good movie. I love that. What's your favorite Kevin Costner movie?
I mean, I love fucking Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is great. I mean, his style in Field of Dreams is definitely.
Yeah, he's my style icon in that movie for sure.
His best-fitting jeans and, like, a little shirt that shows a little bit of his tummy.
Yeah, Bull Durham is also great.
I love Bull Durham. That's my favorite Kevin Costner movie.
I like JFK. I like his little glasses in that.
Yeah, and The Untouchables also.
He's like, you can't handle the truth. Just kidding. That's a few good men.
I can handle the truth, and that's the truth. All right, folks. I hope that you all have a nice Christmas and Happy New Year. Bye. No, just kidding. Bye.
See you forever. Never, losers.
See you. Smell you later. Nicole, have a beautiful Christmas. I hope that you eat dip. Are you going to have dip? I'm assuming yes.
Oh, my God. We got so much dip. My refrigerator is bursting at the seams with just
dips. Mm-hmm. What kind of dip did you get?
We got street corn dip. We got ranch dip. We got seven layer dip. We got bacon horseradish dip. We have hummus. We have boursin and cheese, which is kind of like a dip.
That's a dip, baby.
Yeah.
I love boursin and cheese.
It's delicious.
The fuck is it? It's so good.
It's amazing. And you can get three of them at Costco for a low, low price of $10, which is how much one costs at the bougie grocery store at my house.
That's amazing. You want to hear a deal that I got the other day?
Yes, I was in Key Food. Do you want to hear about some deals?
Listen to this deal I got. I was in Key Food. I was really getting something unrelated and I passed the hot sauce aisle. And I personally love Crystal hot sauce. It's like my favorite. And there was three big jars of Crystal hot sauce for $5 American dollars.
What? Three for five?
Yeah, now I'm, like, drinking that stuff. I'm, putting it in my eyes instead of Visine. I'm trying to find ways to use it up because I bought a lot of it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it in your eyes. It's a good thing. And I like to sprinkle it on my mistletoe when I munch on it when I'm watching movies.
I like to put it on a piece of toilet paper before I spread my vagina out and wipe it with four hands.
Like, Miss, we were wondering, these three male doctors and I, when you wipe, do you sprinkle hot sauce on your toilet paper, spread your wings, and then fly?
I was like, this is embarrassing. All right, folks, have a great holiday. Hasta la pasta.
Bye-bye.
And hasta la figgy pudding. Bye.
Life's a Banquet is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.